The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That due process must be provided without bias to all Americans. And if we cannot provide due process to the worst, then there can be no due process for anyone. And our constitutional republic fails.
We the people of the United States.
More perfect.
Your form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert, Hans von Spakovsky.
Yes, Hans von Spakovsky, the right man for the job today as we watch Kash Patel on Capitol Hill in his confirmation hearing. Welcome back to the show, Hans. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. I just want to give you have you been watching this morning?
I have.
Give me what your thoughts are, your top line thoughts on the hearing so far.
Well, I have to say, I guess I'm not surprised, but I'm still just, Democrats really ought to be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they're doing everything they can to attack, I think, one of the most qualified individuals to ever be nominated to be the director of the FBI. And what is it they're afraid of? Well, they apparently are afraid of the fact that he might actually reform and clean up the FBI, and they're afraid of the fact that he was one of the people who helped figure out that the whole Russian collusion investigation was a complete and total hoax. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a very good job of fighting back against that.
You know, Hans, for me, it's like watching the Democrat-Republican pepper back and forth here while Kash Patel is sitting in front of them. The Republicans are talking about Crossfire Hurricane, and they're talking about Russia, and then the Democrats get the ball, and then they start talking about January 6th. These are maybe, I don't know if they're full chapters in American history books in 20 years, but what is the importance of these two events as it is related to Kash Patel and the FBI?
Crossfire Hurricane was part of the hoax perpetrated against Donald Trump. The FBI was deeply and heavily involved in that wrongdoing of basically opening up a serious criminal investigation when they had not only they had no basis to do so, but in fact, individuals knew that they were basing it on opposition-generated research, which we now know was actually just a fantasy created by the Clinton campaign. We also know, for example, through that the FBI was caught lying, committing perjury, FBI agents, in applications made to the special secret court, remember, that authorizes electronic surveillance. And that's why the Trump campaign and people working for it were wiretapped and listened to. And, Democrats have been pounding for years. I don't think Adam Schiff has ever admitted that this whole thing was a hoax. And like I said, they're afraid of what Kash Patel may find out when he gets there, and frankly, that he may be letting go and firing FBI agents who were involved in that wrongdoing who are still working there.
When it comes to January 6th, do you feel like the confirmed FBI director owes the American people, the administration, maybe Donald Trump himself, owes them anything regarding what happened that day and how it's been handled so far? Is that even in the purview of the FBI?
Yes, because, at one point, Chris Carr, who is now resigned, who was heading the FBI, admitted that there were FBI informants there, but has refused to provide any detailed information about who they were, what involvement they had, and what happened in January 6th. And that, again, is a big defect. By the way, think about this. Chris Carr, the outgoing FBI director, Democrats just loved him. What was his experience prior to becoming the FBI director? He'd been a lawyer in private practice.
Hmm.
And here they are questioning the credentials of Kash Patel, who was a public defender, then a prosecutor with the Justice Department, then a lawyer who worked for the House Intelligence Committee, senior director of counterterrorism at the National Security Council, chief of staff for at the Department of Defense, the acting Secretary of Defense, chief of staff. I don't see how you could have somebody with more experience than that. Experience in criminal prosecution, and most importantly, people seem to forget, it's not the CIA that's in charge of counterintelligence operations in the U.S. It's the FBI. And here you have a man with experience both in criminal prosecutions, which is the main job of the FBI, but also experience in counterintelligence operations, which is the other big job of the FBI.
Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. I want to ask you a little bit more about your thoughts, your judgment on Kash Patel's qualifications to direct the FBI. Does he have the experience and the wisdom he needs to do the job?
Well, look at it this way. The U.S. Department of Defense is much bigger than the FBI. The FBI, even with all of its agents, is a tiny organization personnel-wise compared to the Department of Defense. And as I just said, he served as the chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense, who was running the Pentagon. So, you know, besides his actual experience as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, as in counterintelligence, he actually has experience in running a huge organization with a huge staff, one that was much bigger than the FBI. So I just don't see how anybody could question his qualifications to be the head of the FBI.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. A lot of America, especially those who voted for this, are asking how quickly could Kash Patel or a new head of the FBI clean up the FBI? Is it day one or will it be a process?
Well, it will be a process, but I want everybody to think about the fact that his boss, the person that would eventually be his ultimate boss, Donald Trump. Think about what Donald Trump has done in a week and a half. He's taken more actions to try to rectify and fix the problems in the federal government than in a week and a half than any president in our entire history. And I don't say that lightly. And I think Kash Patel would act with the same kind of speed. By the way, amongst all this criticism, people should realize that a huge group of former FBI agents, retired and others who'd left, have written a letter of support to Congress for Kash Patel, saying that he is the kind of guy that is needed to reform and clean up the FBI.
Hans, I'm watching the massive amount of executive orders come out of executive actions, proclamations. There are all these different kinds of names for these different initiatives from President Trump. Do you feel as though the kind of drinking from a fire hose that the American people are having to do with all of these actions from the president, is this a good way for President Trump to govern, to get to where he needs to be? Is there a way to abuse that authority that the executive office has? Is he going to run into more legal trouble because of the rapid pace with which he's pushing these out?
No, I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do to try to fix the problems we have. Look, the federal government is so huge these days that trying to change it from its path is like trying to turn around a battleship, which takes it takes a lot of miles headed down the ocean path before you can get it to start turning around. So far, every executive order he's issued has been an executive order that's within the authority of the president. That's very different from the way Joe Biden was issuing executive orders when he was telling government officials to do things that he didn't have the power to do, like saying, well, I'm going to forgive all these student loans when the statute, and the Supreme Court has said, well, you don't have the power to do that. That is not what has been going on with the president. And I think people actually ought to admire things he's done. Look, just one quick example. On day one, as the moment he was inaugurated, he entirely changed the Department of Homeland Security, turned it around, and had it doing what it's supposed to be doing. And you know that the number of aliens coming across the border has dropped dramatically, and they have rounded up now thousands of some of the most dangerous criminals in the country. They already got them. They've already been flying them out of the country and returning them to their native land. We just haven't seen anything like this that I can recall in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's been, as a 40-year-old myself, who's been paying attention pretty closely for probably a little bit less than half of my lifetime, it's amazing to me how much Donald Trump has been able to do in this week and a half that he's been the president. And he's got 3 years and 11 months left to go.
Right.
I'm just kind of excited to see the cleanup taking place immediately, and then hopefully some of his plans and policies to actually get to the progress after the cleanup that takes place after this. So,
by the way, can I just tell you one other quick thing that shows how creative the president is? Remember, one of the things that Biden did was to close down detainer facilities. You know, these are the facilities run by DHS, where if they catch an illegal alien, particularly a violent or criminal one, they're jails where they hold these aliens until they can deport them. And the Biden administration was shutting them down. Well, it takes time to reopen that. So what does the president do? He says, well, I'm opening up Gitmo. Guantanamo Bay, and I'm going to send the aliens to be held down there. So that's immediately dealing with the problem caused by the Biden administration in closing down detainer facilities. He's already got a solution to it, and he's already working on it.
And he's fearless. You hear that, and you kind of go, whoa. But he's not afraid. He knows what he wants to do, and he's pushing every opportunity, every idea that he has to get it done. It's been wild. Hans, thank you for being with us today. It's good to speak with you.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky is the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Like every day, I get it. If you're not pro-Trump, this is not good for you. This has not been good for you. I've had a handful of people reach out that are near and dear to me in my life, and I know that we are politically opposite, but our hearts are connected because we know each other's person. We know each other's heart and we care about each other. But I do know that it is testing those people who are not in agreement on all of these policies right now. It's testing people to think, to look at the other side and be like, how can you be okay with what is taking place right now? When I see that President Trump is looking at sending these people to Gitmo, I think it's brilliant. I love the idea. I have the understanding that he's not going to get children out of schools who are not gang members, who are not criminals. And yes, children can be gang members and children can be criminals. That's how tragic this situation is. There's a difference between what the president is actually doing, what yet again the media is trying to spin it as, because the only thing that matters to them at the end of the day is that Donald Trump's still bad. Period. There are lies being told. I'm going to be honest and say this, and this may be unpopular, but I bet if people pause and think, and you know that phrase I hate, let that sink in. I definitely think that there are corners of the Republican voting bloc that are celebrating what's taking place right now in what I would consider an unkind way. I think that you can fully support the policy and the effort by this administration to do what they're doing without fear. That you can say, yes, I support this. 100% support what the president is doing. And I think you can take that to a publicly celebratory level that could in the long run, hinder our ability to do the whole job.
Yeah, there almost needs to be an attitude with these things of, look, it's unfortunate that we're even in this place. Before you start talking about the solutions, and big, bold solutions are required. Hans said it. We don't talk about it enough. The creativity within this very competent administration that we've seen so far, that we will continue to see, is impressive. They have to solve problems that people have not had to solve before, mm-hmm. and they have to be creative in doing it. And they're bold about it.
Well, it's important to note, too, that we are in this situation. We're having to clean up these messes in such a unfortunate and sad way because of the plans that were laid in place 4 years ago, 8 to 12 to 10, you know, whatever, long ago, where people weren't concerned about securing the border. They weren't concerned about, you know, fixing immigration. They used it as a political ploy. Joe Biden's administration threw the doors open, and now this is what we have to do. And this is a direct result of Democrat policies on this.
You know, I think back to what we played multiple times yesterday, and I'm going to be honest, we didn't even give it any context because it didn't deserve context. But Chuck Schumer's remarks about being aroused.
Yeah, I remember.
I know. I know. We're going to work on getting that into the show sometime, too. I should have it ready right now, but I don't. But do you know what Chuck Schumer was aroused by?
Actually, no, I don't.
Exactly. That's the point. People were not talking about it because it was a reaction to Donald Trump's shutting down of funding. And so much of what has been reported on what was shut down is inaccurate.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not surprising to me that Chuck Schumer would be the mouthpiece of the fetishized arousal of lies being told by a very, very beaten and battered media to try to get people away from the success that Trump is having. The word arousal was the right word for what Chuck Schumer was talking about. And it is repulsive. I'm glad he chose that word because it really speaks directly to how when he's talking about the people in D.C. being aroused by this lie that has been peddled, it's like I don't even really need to add to it, to the point where the context should have been added to it.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about it later.
There's no reason to go to the mainstream media for anything at this point unless you just want to be satiated and, oh, I feel bad. They're going to give me some skewed facts that will confirm the way I already feel.
Yeah, tell me how pretty I am.
Yeah.
Oh, you're real pretty. Okay, thanks. I feel better. Mm-hmm. Wiggins America, when we come back.
Yeah, it's really how to get past a natural disaster, how to get through if you are in the midst of, you know, something that we've seen in the last few months, what to have, what to be ready to have, that kind of stuff.
All right, that with Ryan Wiggins in studio. Brad is going to take us out of the break here. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away.